first one is 821. 821, if you'll pick up a songbook and sing with us.
Blessed Rock of Ages, trusting now, dear Lord, in Thee, keep me till my journey's ended, till Thy blessed face I see. Hide me, O blessed Rock of Ages, till Thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. Keep me when the storm clouds gather, till the sun comes shining through. Keep me till my work is over, till I bid this world adieu. Hide me, O blessed Rock of Ages, till Thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. When my journey is completed, and there's no more work to do, Savior, guide my weary spirit, happy land beyond the blue. Hide me, O blessed Rock of Ages, till Thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, Rock of Ages, hide Thou me.
This time Nathan's going to say a few words.
During times like these, when we deal with the loss of a loved one, we often remember what is most important to them. And all I know and all I ever saw in Mike was that right here was important to him. Right here with friends, family, and with his brothers and sisters in Christ. He loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's church, and he loved living the Christian life. I know he loved being here because anytime you saw Mike before services, and he was often here very early, anytime you saw him, he was walking around from person to person, and I promise you, and then he got to them, it wouldn't be just a few seconds till they were smiling because he told them a joke or done something to get them laughing. So he was having a good time. He enjoyed being here. He enjoyed visiting and fellowshipping with his brothers and sisters in Christ. And often he had a joke for me. And I personally enjoyed the common experience that Mike and I had. Mike told me that in years past he had done some preaching. And there are things about preaching that you just can't understand unless you've done some of it, unless you've been engaged in that work. And Mike would pick up on things, and he'd come up to me, and he would say something to me about what he had observed. And oftentimes he'd say it in kind of a kidding way or even a little joke behind it. But, he was being a little bit serious too. But he was telling me, I understand what you're going through. I understand what's going on here. I can sympathize with you. And I was always encouraged by that. He always made me feel better, and I appreciated it so much. You know, because of this background in the Lord's church and his service in the Lord's church, Mike had a care and a concern for people's souls. Mike presented our Wednesday night devotional a few weeks ago. And he reminded everyone that evening that you need to be ready. He had a very strong presentation about the need to be ready in regards to our spiritual lives and prepared for the judgment. It was important to Mike that each person do what is right and do that without delay, because no one knows when this life will end. No one knows the day of the Lord. Mike's leaving this life was so sudden. It was so unexpected. It was a demonstration of the validity of his call for each person to always be ready spiritually to meet their God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the writer of Hebrews said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this judgment." Mike has met that appointment that he spoke of just weeks before, but his words continue to encourage us today. Just as Abel, though he be dead, still spoke, Mike still speaks to us today, encouraging us to be ready for the day in which we ourselves will meet that appointment. I believe that Mike would encourage anyone here tonight to seek Jesus and be ready for our appointment with death and the judgment that follows. And if there is anyone that needs that tonight, so many here stand ready to help. And I can promise you that if Mike was sitting in this audience tonight, he would be ready and wanting to help you be ready for that day. One of the great aspects of Christianity is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And through his efforts, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is terrible and dark in this world, and yet for those in Christ, death has been turned to victory. It is only temporary. One day, the faithful dead will rise from the grave and be reunited with all those in Christ that left this life in death, and all those that we miss so painfully every day, all those that were important in our lives. Mike fits those categories tonight. And we have a hope to be reunited with him in the resurrection in the final day, in which all those in Christ will be taken home to heaven. He's just one ahead of us. We move to catch up. Days like this help us. Days when we suffer the loss of a beloved husband, an honored father, a constant friend, and a trusted brother in Christ. On days like this, I think we understand better why the Apostle John said in the next to last verse of the Bible, "Come, Lord Jesus." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this avenue of prayer, where we can pour out our hearts to you and know that you hear us and always seek to help us with the pains and the struggles of this life. Death is one of those terrible pains that we suffer, as you did when your only son hung upon the cross. We are thankful tonight that because of that sacrifice, days like these are not days of darkness, but are days where the light of your glory gives us hope. Father, we pray that you be with this family. Pray especially that you be with Tammy and Chris and Christy. We pray that you give them comfort, peace, and strength in the days ahead. Father, we thank you for Mike. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his work in your church. We thank you for putting him in our lives. It is our prayer that we follow his example and continue to hear his words that will bring us closer to you. Please bless all that are here tonight and comfort them. It is in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
You'll hear a few of us say a few things about Mike this evening. One of the things I can remember, Mike, we learned to love Mike back in like in 1985 when we first moved here. And if you ever were around then, Mike moved every now and then. Once or twice. Anyway, well, one of the times that I can remember, we were taking your piano in the back of a trailer with some other furniture. We were going down the road, and all of a sudden, the ball came off the truck. And off into the ditch it went, and the piano, all that was left was the harp. So I remember Tom Chambly and myself and a few others. I just don't recall everybody who was there. I don't know what the age thing has to do with it. But I remember that we scrambled around trying to get that harp out of there, not knowing we were in a patch of poison ivy. So I think all of us got poison ivy, except Mike. Mike was a dear friend of mine. We'll miss him. We'll miss him. Another song that I liked that he always led was 267. 267. I believe in Jesus.
I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he's still Galilee. I believe that he walked on the water. And I believe that he's the answer for me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me. I believe in the words of the Bible, how he made the poor blind man to see. I believe that the deaf ears were open, and I believe he's made a difference in me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me. I believe that he spoke to dead Lazarus, and he said, unbind and set free. I believe that he reigns up in heaven, and I believe that he is coming again. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me.
I wanted to share with you guys how I'm going to remember Mike. Maybe you don't know this, but Mike was a baby stealer. I learned this when my son, who's now 5 years old, was very small. Mike came over and wanted to hold him, and I turned around probably to get something, turned back around, and they were both gone. And they didn't show back up for a while either. So Mike had taken him. He was visiting around just like we were talking about earlier. Mike was walking around talking with folks, just holding my son Garrett. That was what Mike did. And I was sharing that with some other folks after Mike passed away, and they had the same experience. I think Chad Thompson said that happened Sunday before last with Aiden. But Mike would let my kids, I saw them drool all over him. They'd take their sticky, wet hands, and they'd sit there and they'd play with his mustache. And Mike just let them do that. That's how Mike was. He just loved he loved kids. He would also walk around, and he'd do the worst job a parent could do, which was to walk around and hold the kids like this while they were trying to learn to walk. He'd do that back and forth and back and forth. And when Mr. Mike wanted a five, he didn't give up till he got it. Grumpy kids didn't get a pass. My kids would come in here sometimes, and they'd be grumpy, and he wouldn't go sit down with Tammy until he'd gotten his five. He was going to get that. I always appreciated that about him. But that's how I'm going to remember Mr. Mike. That's what we called him. I'm disappointed. My kids won't get to grow up knowing him any better. But I find comfort and I find joy in the fact that if I finish my race like Mike finished his, we'll be together again one day, anew in the presence of the living God. It was a privilege to have known Mr. Mike.
One of the things I always knew about Mike when he was going to get up and lead a song is that there was at least a 50% chance that one of his songs would have a strong bass or alto lead and that I had to be ready. And he caught me by surprise many times. And number one is one of those songs, if we'll sing that, number one.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing his praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only life that will endure is one that shines and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's log. I'll try to turn the night to day. Make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening song is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
As I reflected on songs that Mike often led, I was remembering how many of them actually had to do with heaven in the next life, and 824 is another one of those. Number 824.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away.
Good evening. I want to first off, I want to thank the family for putting this together, Chris. It's an awesome job. You look out and you meet people coming in, and you meet them and you learn from what facet of life and how they know Mike. And you see that he has touched people just from his work. I'm impressed with the number of people that are here from his work, and I hope to have that kind of impact on the place where I work as well. But you see so many people here who we've known for years and years from other congregations, and it's really good to see everybody here tonight. So I want to thank the family for allowing this congregation to be a part of not only your grieving, but your celebration as well of Mike and his life. So thank you so much. Like so many of us from the Cary congregation, my family and I have known Mike and Tammy, Chris and Christy for almost 25 years. I know I'm so young looking, Tammy, but, you know, it has been that long. So, and I speak on behalf of Regina. I speak on behalf of Abby. I speak on behalf of Brittany in the words that I say. So, Terry said to think of some funny story that Mike may
may have recollected, that you might recollect about Mike. And I really couldn't just think of one. I thought so many of them of Chris, but I couldn't think of hardly any of Mike. So, but I know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so I could use those stories. But as I got to thinking, I thought, well, maybe if there's not a story, maybe there's a word that kind of symbolizes the relationship that I came to know Mike as. And then got to thinking, and one word just didn't do it. So as brief as y'all have been tonight, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a little bit longer. So I have 10 words that describe Mike. Not really, I have 4. So it's going to be better, isn't it, already? So good. So, but as I kept thinking about these words, I guess I live my life in rhyme because they all started with F. So I don't know why that's of any significance, but it is. So the first one, and we mentioned some of these over again, and Brian, I'll get to yours at the end because he held my girls just like he held yours. So Mike was all about having fun to a certain degree. You know, when you talked about Mike, we mentioned it, you know, he just always had a joke. He was always making somebody laugh. But he was about having fun as well. So the more you got to know Mike, and believe it or not, we put a church softball team together years ago, and Mike was on that team. He played outfield, and he was way too serious for a church team, believe me. If you've ever played on a church softball team, he was way too serious. So I kept telling him, Mike, and he'd come off the field just drenched in sweat. You know, and I'm just like, you are playing way too hard. We haven't even won a game this year, and look at you. So he played his heart out, and pretty well in everything that he did, he pretty well played his heart out. But what stands out to me, and probably to a lot of you all as well, and probably more so to people he may have worked with, is he loved golf. And if you know me and Regina, we golf all the time, too much. And so... on Monday nights, he used to organize this golf league that we used to go over here to Knights play. Some of y'all played that or tried to. And so Mike would organize it. He'd always set the tee time for the next week. I mean, he was vigilant about that. He was always the first one there, too. I don't know if he kicked him out of the house or whether they just didn't let him in until 10 o'clock at night or what, but he would always be the first one at the golf course. And so you knew if you got there early enough, it was usually 4 to 12 people that usually showed up. And if you got there early enough, you thought, okay, well, I'm going to play with Mike. You know, that was a good, bad thing, you know, depending on how you looked at it, because Mike was a real stickler for the rules. You know, and if you play golf, you don't want to go by rules. You know, and Mike was a stickler for the rules. And rules on a 3-par? Really? You know, it's like if you can't hit the ball, tee it off, and hit on the green, and rules come into play where he has to correct you on where your ball lies, there's a problem. So, but he was a stickler on rules until you got onto the green. And Regina and I have a rule in our house, and it's called the Mike Rich rule. It's like, don't touch my ball, because if it was on the green, he'd pick it up and throw it at you. He wouldn't let you putt out. So, and I'm like, no, let me putt out. So, but he'd be a stickler for the rules until you got on the green, and then you'd have a putt like this, and he'd give it to you. So I'm like, it just didn't jive. But that was a good thing. He had such a good heart. He would give you a putt that long. So, but he was always fun. So the next word that comes to mind, though, starting with an F, is faithful. We've talked about it. It almost goes without saying how faithful Mike was. He certainly served this congregation well, not only as a member, but certainly in the leadership responsibilities that he undertook, both as a deacon as well as an elder. And he was faithful. And specifically, his faithfulness is reflected in his family. His faithfulness is obviously reflected in his beautiful wife and his children who are faithful to the Lord to this day. So, but specifically, I want to talk about his impact that he had on me as I and Regina as we worked with the youth group. In 97, up until that point, our youth rallies hovered around about 100 kids, and 30 or 40 of them were our own kids, and many who I see out here today. It's great to see so many of you all come and pay your respects, not only to Mike, but to your fellow youth group members as well, Christy and Chris. But in 97, we had about, probably averaged about 100.
And Mike had this harebrained idea that he's going to, you know, why don't we have the rally over at the Sharon Harris plant, you know? Harebrained, believe me, the Sharon Harris nuclear plant, and the operative word there being nuclear. And I'm like, nuclear plant? I can just see these parents calling the elders 2 weeks from now, and their kid has some growth or something coming out of them. And I was just like, are you serious? We're going to have the youth rally over there? Well, from 97 until about 2000, for about 4 years, we had our youth rally over there. And our growth was exponential on that. We really went from about 100 kids. And that's not to say just because we did some things over there, but we were doing things kind of activity-wise and reaching out to the community, the state, and really statewide and in the brotherhood. That really kind of, I think that was kind of the catalyst that got us to grow our rally. You know, well, at one point, over 400 kids. And it was in 2001 that we had to make an emergency change of venue because of the 9/11. And but for about 4 years there, we had it at the Sharon Harris nuclear plant. And so it's oftentimes when I'm driving down US 1 and you see that ominous looking plant. Forgive me if you're here from there. it is ominous looking. you're driving down one and you see it, and I oftentimes think of Mike. Certainly, you can't help but think of Mike. But I want you to also think of the impact that he had on the youth rally because of that harebrained scheme that took us out there, and we had the best times out in the Harris plant. So think about that when you're heading down one. Another word that comes to mind is family. You've touched on it a little bit. Certainly, if you know their family, it's good to see his sisters here tonight with us. It's also good, you know, just to see the extended family, the extended rich family, so many of them that we know and love. Good to see you all here tonight, and we grieve with you. But from a family standpoint, working with the youth gives you somewhat of a unique perspective in terms of the love, the depth of the love that a parent has for a child that sometimes at that particular moment that child doesn't see that love that their parent has for them. And Tammy and Mike, it goes without saying, Chris and Krista, that your parents loved you beyond the word love. And Christy, having daughters of my own, I can certainly imagine the worry that he had for you as a daughter. But I can also tell you that how incredibly proud he was when he told us that you had found a husband, and not only a husband, but a Christian husband. He was incredibly proud at that moment. He also coined the term that I had heard for the first time, FHU. So, you know, find a husband university, and he got his money's worth, I guess. So. But that moment of pride was only topped by you having your children and making him a grandparent. And you didn't need to announce that. You didn't need to tell anybody because he was telling everybody for you. So, but he was incredibly, incredibly proud of you. Chris, he was equally proud of you. He was proud of you when you decided to attend the School of Preaching. He couldn't stop telling people that you were there. He was so proud. He updated me constantly on how well you were doing. He was also proud that you also married a Christian wife, and then the young daughter that you had that also gave him another grandchild as well. It goes without telling both of you that your parents are incredibly proud of both of you, and you can equally be proud of your father for the impact that he has made on the lives of others. And Brian, you mentioned earlier that he was a baby stealer. I don't know if those were your words, but when you all are in town, he has your kids in his arms, bringing them over to show me and other people in the congregation his grandkids as well. But 20 and 21 years ago, he would take my girls. We would come to the church. There was never a time we came to the church that we had left that day, and if he were here, that he did not hold our babies, our baby girls. It was heartbreaking telling them on Saturday the passing of your father. They felt the depth of your sorrow as well. Simply put, he loved children. These are some of the memories that I'll carry with me. And the last word that comes to mind, and we've already mentioned it, is he was a dear friend. The thing that you can say about somebody that I think is just an ultimate compliment is that what you see is what you get. And with Mike, what you see is what you get. There were no errors. He was genuine. He was sincere. He was honest. And he was a dear friend.
Let's turn to hymn 129. Each step I take, this describes Mike. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday that last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Hymn 627. 627. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Get in the glory land way. hasten to obey, for I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in his love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Good
evening. I'd like to share a few things that I remember Mike from. I could say Mike was a holy man. He was a man of faith, and I believe he's a man that lived the example of Jesus Christ. We're commanded in 1 Peter 1:21 to follow Jesus' example, and to me, Mike was a man that did that. He followed Jesus' example in terms of loving the Lord's church, loving his family, and of course, loving his wife. Daryl talked about his children, and when I was listening to Daryl, the thing that came to my mind was the fruit that he bore. You look at Luke 6:43-44. I'll read that. It says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from brine bush." So a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. That abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Well, as Daryl's mentioning about his children, it comes to my mind that that's what Mike was about. It's about bearing good fruit. His children, I think, is a good example of living a godly life and an example of what Mike betrayed. As you know, Chris went to the school, Memphis School of Preaching. His daughter married in the Lord. The children, his grandchildren, is growing up in the Lord, and I'm just confident that they're going to continue doing what Mike would have them to do and follow an example of Mike. Getting a little choked up here. Sorry. Mike really loved his wife. I think Mike's a good example of what a Christian man should do in terms of loving his wife. I look at 1 Peter 3:7. Why don't you read that with me? And it says, "Husbands, dwell with them in an understanding way, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, for your prayers may be not hindered." Mike really loved his wife. I think he was a good example of showing that his wife was a weaker partner. He always wanted to take care of her. He loved her. And he always put her first. You know, Christ tells us to love our wives like we love ourselves. And I think Mike did a good example of that. Also, Mike, he loved Jesus' church. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Mike put the church first. He was always faithful. He was always on time. He led singing. And he built up the church through the word. He built the church through song and hymns. And he encouraged. He was always faithful in terms of teaching class, preaching when someone was not here, and just being faithful in the Lord. I think of Romans 1:16. Mike was not ashamed of the gospel. As you know, the gospel is a power to save unto salvation. And Mike was never afraid to stand up for the one church. He always put Christ first. and is willing to speak the deep truths of the faith so that Christ's truth can be taught. And lastly, the thing I remember most is that Mike always gave of others. He gave of others first before himself. There's times where we needed things done in our house, and he was there for us. When my niece was to move, I think he just recovered from a hernia. And I didn't ask him to come, but he showed up anyways, and he gave himself to help us move and move couches and to also bring some things so that she can be prepared to get out on her own. And so I'll say Mike lived a life of faith, love, and self-sacrifice. He loved the church. He loved his family. As I mentioned, he bears the fruit. You can see the tree by his fruit. And he gave himself in service and love to the Lord's church. And that's what I remember him by, and I'm sure that you guys remember those things as well in terms of his sacrifice to Christ and to others. And he's with the Lord now. And I think that we have his example to follow and to encourage others and to be faithful to Christ. That's it.
It was obvious if you sit back and watch Mike direct singing that he'd been doing it quite a while, that he had the proper training. But there's one thing that I caught that I, to this day, do not know what he does. I was taught, if you know what a 6-4 time is, it's a unique thing. And I was taught that what you do with a 6-4 is you use a 4 beat, but you insert 2 beats as you go. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1. Mike had this weird directing for a 6-4. I still don't know what it was exactly. But somewhere in there, I believe on the 5th beat, he actually skipped. Either he just passed through it, or he did some kind of movement that I could not detect. But it was effective. I caught him in the back one day after he led singing, and he led a 6-4 song. And I said, "You know, Mike, I now know there are 2 effective ways to lead a 6-4 song. That's by the book, or by the Michael Rich Alabama 6-4 with a skip." He kind of smiled. He didn't laugh at that. He just said, "It's the way I've been doing it all my life." So it was neat. Number 780. 780. Yeah, a 6-4 song.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Indeed, the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring, then matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? There, the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Good evening. You know, I can't look around this room without feeling Mike's here. Too many of us are family to Mike. 1997, I moved out here. My wife was still up north. Mike was one of the first ones to make me feel welcome. He was part of a family of Christians. Mike was more than my friend. He was my Christian brother. And he knew the meaning of the word brother. A lot of you know that I try and play golf. And I had the opportunity several times to play golf with just Mike. And when you play as bad as I do, and you spend time with a brother like Mike on the golf course 4 or 5 hours at a lick, one-on-one, you get to know somebody. I can search, and I don't remember a single time I believe I've ever heard Mike speak a disparaging word against another person. That's rare. I know I'm not that good. Mike is one of those people that there's a scripture where Christ is called good by someone he's teaching. And he says there's no one good except God. And there's been a lot of men in my life, a lot of individuals that were special. But Mike, out of all my peers, is one of the few that I can think of that might come close to fitting the description of good. He truly tried to be Christ-like in all that he did. And as you've heard said, he had a special love for family. But to him, the Lord's church was family. And if there's anything he took pride in, it was the fact that his family had worked in the Lord's church and that he quietly tried to serve as well and teach that to those that were family to him. His wife, his son, his daughter, his grandchildren, and the rest of us that he called family. There's a song that I tried to teach this congregation. It's not in our song book. I'd like to see it added back. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? And there's a verse in there that talks about seeing Christ in the face of a brother. I think I've seen Christ in Mike's face many times. I want to thank Nathan because Mike would want to make sure that any service we have included the opportunity for people to come forward if they have a need as part of our Christian body to either become a Christian or to rededicate. I'm going to speak on Mike's behalf, I think, on one other topic. Playing golf with Mike, one of the things that he did share his concern about is this family. If you look around this room, there are those of us who need to mend bridges with each other while we have that opportunity. You want to honor Mike? Step out and do that starting tonight. This family needs to look at each other, forgive, and mend some bridges. There's no better way you could honor Mike than to do that. And then dedicate ourselves as a larger, stronger, healthier family to God's work. Mike's voiced that concern, and if I've been out of place in saying that, hold it on me, not on Mike. More than once he voiced that concern to me one-on-one. And if you're not part of our Christian brotherhood here, that's not a disparaging comment about Christians, because the church is just made up of people and we're all fallible. That's why we needed the Lord to make up for our shortcomings. We need His grace and His love and the gift of His forgiveness. That's why He died for us. But Mike would want us to mend bridges. He would want us back together as a family. Let's honor Mike in that way and any other we can. And let's remember this brother and the work he did and the work he would want us to continue, not just for him, but for his Lord, because that's who he served. That's who he wanted to get the glory. So let's give it to God and our Lord. Thank you for listening.
Please turn to 838.
This was a song that I remember Mike leading many times here. And like someone said it, like Patrick said, it has a bass lead and an alto lead in certain spots. So ask everyone to sing out "The Rainbow of Love."
Shining every day, there's a rainbow of love on the land and sea. There's a rainbow of love. There's a rainbow shining with golden lining, pointing to, it's always pointing to heaven above. The clouds that gather in stormy weather, there's a rainbow of love. If your heart is sad, there's a rainbow of love. Follow where it leads, there's a rainbow. With golden lining, it's always pointing to heaven above. In clouds that gather in stormy weather, there's a rainbow of love. When we cross the tide on the other side, there's a rainbow of love shining on and on. Round the great white throne, there's a rainbow of love. A rainbow shining with golden lining, it's always pointing to heaven above. The clouds that gather in stormy weather, there's a rainbow of love.
Number 345. This is a song I'm sure all of us know. At a time like this, a song like this gives us peace, it gives us comfort. We know where Mike is. I know we want to join him. Hope it gives comfort and rest to the family and peace to all of us as his friends and his family, brothers and sisters in Christ. It was nice to meet some of his co-workers. We're so glad that you came to honor Mike and the family. And we hope that things at work will go well with you. I've thought about this week, and not only affected
Tammy and her family and our church family, but it affects your lives too. And you're honoring Mike by being here. And you can tell we loved him. And we love the family. There's something you guys may not know. I may be the only one here that knows this. And it hasn't been mentioned tonight. But Mike was an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. He was very quiet about it, very subtle. But I wanted to share that with all of you. So if you didn't know that, please know that. And I've never done this in a church building before. And whether you want to say it or not, I'm going to ask you to do it in honor of Mike. His daughter asked us to do this on Facebook. Will you all just say, Roll Tide. Roll Tide. That felt good. Because I'm an Alabama fan too. Thank you again for coming. And I know we love Mike and we love the family. Let's sing 345 and then Laddie Munger will dismiss us in prayer.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Would you all stand, please, while we lift our voices in prayer to the Lord in this benediction prayer? Great God, our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we could be here tonight to remember your child, our brother, Mike Rich. Dear Lord, a special prayer for Tammy and her family, that may we all rejoice with them to remember a life well lived for you. May you be with them, with our congregation, with all who knew him. Please give us a safe trip home, and we give you all the praise and the glory through Jesus our Savior. Amen.